your copy of God's Word and you want to follow along, we are back in the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew in chapter number 7. The book of Matthew in chapter number 7. We have been making our way week by week through the Sermon on the Mount. We're not just a few weeks away from being done with this. The Lord, unless something happens or the Lord changes my mind, we're going to begin a study of the book of John. Early 2021, we're going to preach through the book of John. So if you're interested in that, I invite you to come back and join us. I have been reading John this year over and over, anticipating preaching through it. And I just pray that you would join with us in that. I want to read the first six verses of Matthew 7 just to help set the context for us, bring our mind back into the narrative, the sermon itself, as Jesus there on that Galilean hillside speaking there on the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee. Early in his ministry, Jesus has been preaching for about a year or so now, and he's really coming out and saying, this is what true Christianity, this is what true religion looks like. This is what it means to be a kingdom citizen, as opposed to the false religion, the false narrative of the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious elders. Jesus is clarifying so many things. And one of the things that he's teaching is about warning against a hypercritical spirit that we looked at last week. But Jesus also has something to say about us using discernment or being discriminatory. All right, Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote? And that's really just a speck. Why are you staring at that speck that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote or the speck out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Verse 6, where we'll put our attention today. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you or attack you. Today I speak on the subject of discerning dangerous dogs and hazardous hogs, using spiritual discernment to learn to figure out how we should treat dogs and hogs. Now, at the risk of becoming a noisy nuisance and just saying some of the same things over and over and over again, yet again, we find the benefit of preaching as we do, verse by verse, through the Word of God. By working our way sequentially through the text, we are forced to face scriptures we might otherwise intentionally or unintentionally overlook. Now, I would be interested to know, I'm not looking for an audible answer, but I would be interested to know how many of us have ever heard this verse preached from or even referenced in a message. And I would say the answer to that would probably be very, very few. Yet this verse is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness' sake. So we need to consider this passage together today. Last week, we preached on splinters and sticks and hypocrites. And in those verses, the King Jesus, warns against being hypercritical. In the verses 1 through 5 here in Matthew 7, Jesus says that his citizens, kingdom citizens, are not judgmental fault finders who are quick to point their fingers at others without ever considering their own failures. But, and here it is, but because we are so prone to extremes, human nature, Jesus, in his great wisdom, says, and the words that we will examine today, says these things to keep us balanced. So right on the heels of do not judge or do not condemn, Jesus says, don't cast pearls before swine, or don't give that which is holy to the dogs. Now, this is somewhat of a curious language, strange speech, if you will, but nonetheless, Jesus, in his great masterful way, says these things in order to keep us balanced. And here is why. Lest we become weak-kneed and soft, refusing to take a stand against all forms of wrong, Jesus says, be sure you are discerning about who and with whom you speak of spiritual truths. If you were to just take the first five verses and lift them off the page and only look at that, it may produce a group of Christians who never come down on sin, never condemn any wrong. But Jesus gives verse 6, what we know of as verse 6, as an antidote to the plague of spineless, convictionless Christianity that is so common in our world today. Too many, under the broad umbrella of evangelicalism, say we, that is Christians, must be accepting, tolerant, and never denounce sin. Our 21st century, who are you to judge me culture has infiltrated too many assemblies and caused too many Christians to believe that they must accept or tolerate anyone and everything. There are some groups, even among Christians, who refuse to call sin, sin. There are those who refuse to denounce heresy, to preach against false doctrine, who refuse to take a stand, a bold, loving stand, but do so all in the name of love. So to keep us from this ungodly extreme, Jesus says, there are those in this world who are dogs and hogs and are quite frankly beastly when it comes to biblical truths. There are people in this world that when it comes to spiritual matters, they are savage, brute beasts. On one hand, Jesus says, don't be hypercritical. Don't be overly judgmental. But to balance that out, he says, you need to be a discriminating people. You need to be a discerning people. On one hand, you want to go over and say, well, we can't condemn this. We can't say anything about that. We don't want to be hypercritical. But on the other hand, Jesus says, there are some things you've got to be discriminatory about. There are some things you need to be clear about, to make known about. You need to take a stand on some things. So this verse is, to me, is a great balancing verse. There are people in this world who are dangerous dogs and hazardous hogs, and the Christian needs to be able to discern between them. While we are, yes, to be meek and peaceable and loving, we must also rightly value the things of God and not diminish them by casting them before those who would simply trample them underfoot, or worse, turn and attack us. Now, I want to begin today with first an investigation, and then I want to make an explanation, and then finally we want to draw some implications. An investigation, an explanation, and some implications. So first, as we look at this verse through the eyes of an investigation, what does Jesus say? Who is he talking about? What are these dogs and swine, or dogs and hogs? And what are the holy things that he mentions here? What are the pearls that Jesus is talking about? Look with me again, verse 6, give not. Again, Jesus so often through the sermon, it begins with a negative. Don't do this. Don't give that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast pearls, your pearls, before swine, lest they simply trample them under their hooves and then turn and attack you. So what is Jesus talking about here? Let's do a little bit of an investigation into this passage. And what we learn here that the dogs, and we'll simply begin here, the dogs that Jesus is talking about, obviously he's not talking about literal animals. He's using an analogy, an allegory, an illustration. And Jesus is making reference of dogs. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs. And when we think about dogs, invariably, most of us are going to think about our cute little Paisley puppies like I have at my house. That's what we're going to think about. Innately, we're going to think about the domesticated pets that we have. But that's not what Jesus is talking about at all. What he's talking about instead, and you got, again, you always have to study the text within its context. Jesus speaking to first century saints who normally didn't keep dogs in the house. Dogs that they kept were for protecting the sheep, sheep dogs. They were useful for something. They weren't just pets that they would keep around the house. Not totally, but that would be, as I'm told, that would be the truth. They didn't have and didn't domesticate animals like we do today. But instead, Jesus is talking about wild feral mongrels. Wild packs of ravenous or vicious animals who would attack and devour. And these are not some cute little pets. As Pat and I, we were flipping the channels the other day, and it was that AKC dog championship and had the cutest little puppies here. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about wild, feral, vicious, savage dogs that would run in packs and that would attack. And he's talking about hogs or swine here. Again, Jesus is not talking about these cute little cuddly pot-bellied pigs. That's not what he is talking about. This past week, Grace, our oldest daughter, has been house-sitting and somewhat pet-sitting for some friends who went out of town for Thanksgiving. They have a pet pig. They quite literally have a pet pig. They keep it in the house. Its name is Einstein, if I'm remembering right. And it's relatively smart for a pig. You can put it on a leash and walk it around and it'll listen to some commands. But that, again, is not what Jesus is talking about. Again, get into this first century context. Hogs or swine were incredibly unclean animals, especially to the mind of a Jew. Especially, you remember in the story of the prodigal son, he hit rock bottom when he went to go feed with the swine. So in the eyes of a Jew, these hogs or these swine were filthy animals with filthy habits. I think perhaps the best way we could understand is not these cute little pigs, but wild boars is more of what Jesus is talking about. And in fact, there's a reference to these hogs and dogs. It's 2 Peter 2, verse 22. Peter writes and says, it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow, that is the hog or the pig, that was washed, to her wallowing in the mire. Now, I don't want to be vulgar. I don't want to state too much, but when Jesus is talking about these dogs and these hogs, he's not talking about cute little cuddly pets at all. If you've been around dogs any length of time, they will eat most anything, and so will pigs. And even worse, hogs will wallow in most anything. You can put perfume on a pig, but given the chance, it's going to get back out and wallow in the mud. That's its nature. That's what it does. You can domesticate a dog, but it's still going to go out and eat things you wish it wouldn't eat. That's just the way it is. Jesus is saying, he's drawing an analogy between these wild feral animals and the way some people act when it comes to biblical truth, to spiritual matters. And Jesus is saying that there are some people who are so adamantly opposed to all things spiritual that they are like wild beasts. They are like dangerous dogs and hazardous hogs. And the exhortation is, you do not cast pearls before swine, or you don't give that which is holy to the dog. So what is he talking about with these holy things and these pearls? And again, in the verse number 6, don't give that which is holy unto the dogs. Without any argument, Jesus is making reference to those sacrifices, those early sacrifices. As you go back into the Old Testament, Orthodox Judaism, the system of sacrifices and offerings, when a family would bring an offering, part of it would be given to the priest, part of it burned on the altar, part of it the family itself would keep. And what Jesus is saying is, no godly Jew would take that piece of meat that had been consecrated or set apart to sacrifice unto God and feed it to a wild feral animal, to a dog. No godly Jew, certainly no priest, would take that which is holy, dedicated to God, separate, set apart for God, and just to throw it out to the dogs. No, it would be set apart or consecrated unto God instead. And these pearls that Jesus is making mention of here, these pearls is simply that which is of great value. This is just Jesus' way of saying, you don't take that which is of great value and throw it before hogs, before swine. And without any real argument, Jesus is clearly talking about biblical spiritual truth. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the Word of God. And it may even be rounded down a little bit more, that he's talking about the gospel, the good news. He's talking about the message of the kingdom. You don't take that which is holy and cast it to dogs. You don't take your pearls and cast them before swine. So this is our investigation. Now let's seek to make an explanation. We have identified Jesus drawing a comparison to unbelievers who are angry and an animosity towards the things of God, and how we are to treat them or not treat them. So what is the explanation of this passage? Here it is. There are people who are more than resistant to spiritual truth. Instead, they are animalistic towards spiritual truth. It's sad, but it's just true. There are people out there who are not lost sheep. They are dangerous dogs and hazardous hogs. Contrary to the poor theology of some, not everyone is a child of God. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are of your father the devil." And he tells those self-righteous hypocrites, "God is not your father." And if I can use some very strong vernacular, instead, Jesus says, you are the very spawn of Satan. Not everyone around you is a sheep. I wish that was the case, but it's not. We live in a fallen world. And there are those out there who are not lost sheep who need to be brought into the fold. Instead, they are dangerous dogs and hateful or hazardous hogs. Look around at your world, at this world. Turn on the nightly news and tell me Jesus isn't exactly right. What would you call organizations like Antifa except godless, vicious, brute beasts? That's what they are. Vile animals, cruel savages, bloodthirsty, unclean, unholy, remorseless animals. And these brute beasts do not care one bit for that which is holy, that which is good, that which is just. Think on this explanation. Jesus is saying, in truth, a dog does not care one bit if a piece of meat came from the altar of sacrifice or if it was roadkill. A wild feral dog doesn't care one bit where it came from. It doesn't matter to these scavengers. I have, and probably you have, seen dogs eat the most vile or the vilest things that you could possibly think of. And what business do we have of taking that which is of true value and giving it to those who do not value it at all, but instead trample it under their feet. And in like manner, pigs do not value pearls. Think this is just so simple, but yet at the same time, it's quite profound. Hogs delight. I'm born and raised in North Carolina. My dad grew up as a sharecropper. We come from very poor means. Many of you do as well. I'm going to use a word. Some of you are going to know what it means. Some of you may not. But hogs delight in slop. In slop. They eat slop. That means just whatever. And they love to wallow around in filth and in mud. So my dear friends, Jesus is saying that pearls have no place in a pig pen. The things of God are too great a value to be fed to dogs or trampled in the mud, the filthy mud of a pig pen. The gospel is of too much value and is too precious to be treated with such contempt. Think on this. We offer this world the greatest message that could ever be pronounced from human lips. The promise of certain and sure eternal salvation through the finished work of the risen Messiah, Jesus Christ. And there are some people who are not, they're not merely apprehensive about Christianity or the Christian message. They are actually animalistic towards it. They're not skeptical towards it. They despise that kind of message. And that is, my friends, what Jesus would determine to be dogs and hogs. Imagine coming to someone and saying, I have the greatest news that you could ever hear. And rather than them rejoicing in that news, they turn and attack you for sharing it with them. And that's what Jesus is warning here. Now, we understand by nature men are depraved, they're spiritually dead. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to quicken them, to make that gospel message real to them. But folks, there's a real difference between somebody who's skeptical about Christianity and someone who hates the very message and idea of Christianity. And what Jesus is saying, I'm telling you, don't be hypercritical, but at the same time, you need to use some discerning thoughts and be discriminatory. Obviously, being discriminating in many ways is wrong, but when it comes to spiritual things and in the context here, it is absolutely the right thing to do. The gospel is too precious to be cast under the feet of men or trodden beneath their filthy feet. And that is the best explanation of this passage that I can give you. Now consider with me some implications from this passage. There are those, thank God, there are those out there who God has softened their heart in order that they may hear the word. There are those that the Spirit of God has come and plowed the fallow ground of their heart to soften it so that it would receive the seed of the Word. Yet there are also others who have hardened their heart. Or even as God hardened Pharaoh's heart, there are may even be some that God has hardened their heart. And they will not receive the message, no matter how good it is, no matter how gracious it is. It is nothing to them. It has no value. So they cast it from them, or cast that message from them, or trample it underfoot. Now this verse, and this is something we need to be clear about, this verse does not exclude us from carrying out the Great Commission. Because I think I know me well enough to know that I could use this as an excuse to say, well, they're all dogs and hogs. They don't need to hear the gospel. Right? And that my nature would be to excuse my laziness. But this verse does not excuse us from caring, as Mark says, to preach the gospel to every creature. Okay? We are, as Matthew says, Mark says, we're to go and we're to preach, we're to make disciples, we're to teach all nations, we are to baptize them, and we are to instruct them and teach them in all things that the Lord has commanded us. Nonetheless, as we do this, we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Because we are not, or we're not God, we don't have the omniscience that God does, we're not all-knowing, we don't know who the sheep are and who the dogs and the hogs are. So we preach Christ to every man. We warn every man to flee from the wrath that is to come, to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And we continue to tell sinners to flee to the cross and trust in Jesus Christ as your only hope. We continue to do so. That is, until it becomes evident that they are, at least for this time, not only not receptive, but they are actually bitterly opposed to spiritual matters. When it becomes evident that they are hostile to the gospel, we need to learn to sit down and shut up and be quiet. There are times in which people can act like dogs and hogs, but then God gets a hold of them. There is a man who is Brother Gordon, former pastor here, Brother Gordon, Ellaville, if I get my cities right. Now, one of these are Griffin. There we go, Griffin. Sorry. Brother Gordon went to a man's house, knocked on the door. He's out on visitation, knocked on the door. A man came to the door with a gun, literally. Said, get off my property and don't come back. And Brother Gordon said, you know Brother Gordon, he was full of spit and vinegar, right? Brother Gordon said, we won't come back ever unless God puts it on our heart to come back. Well, that man's now, God saved that man, and he's been in part of that church up there for many, many years now. For a while, he acted like a dog and a hog, but it turned out that he's actually one of God's sheep. And so, all we can do is preach the gospel, share the gospel, communicate the gospel, ask God to give the increase. But when it becomes clear, when it becomes evident that they are hostile to the gospel, we need to sit down and be quiet. Leave it alone. You won't make it better. You'll actually make it worse. We have got to be a discerning people. And I don't want to get too far sideways with this, but I'm telling you, friends, we've got to be a discerning people. We've got to discern right and wrong, truth and fiction. We've got to know that which is holy and that which is unholy, that which is good and that which is evil. We need to be a discerning people. We need godly wisdom and Holy Spirit leadership. We need to learn, you ready? We need to learn there is a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. And we need God's wisdom to learn which time is which. A word fitly spoken, the right word at the right time, is like apples of gold on pictures of silver. In other words, it is of great value. And it means a lot when it's the right word at the right time. But when it's the right word at the wrong time, or the wrong word at the wrong time, we need to be discerning. We need wisdom. We're dealing with the souls of men. And we need God's guidance and direction. We don't have that perfect omniscient mind of God so that we know this is one of the elect, this is not, this is one of God's sheep, and it's not. So we communicate Christ to people. We plead with them. We exhort them. Trust in the finished work of Christ. But when it becomes evident that they are no more than at least at this time, a dangerous dog or a hazardous hog, we need to just stop. We need to stop. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my own past but I wanted to argue theology with unsaved people. Listen, there are deep truths of the Word of God that you should know and that you should learn, but you don't need to argue them with non-Christians. They need Christ. Because spiritual truth is discerned by the leadership of the Spirit of God. And only by that. We've got to be a discerning people. We need to be discerning about what we hear, about what we take in, about what we listen to. And I don't want to go again. I said I don't want to go too far sideways with this. We are a reactionary society. Clickbait, memes, all of the things that we deal with in social media is just, you need to be discerning. This church, it should be pretty vivid to this church. We need to be discerning people, discerning about what we like and dislike, about what we approve of and disapprove of. We've got to learn. There's a time to share and there's a time to be quiet. And I want to give you a great illustration of this. There's no greater illustration of there's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent than Jesus himself. And to do that, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of Luke, chapter number 23. Luke, chapter number 23. I'm trying not to get too far off in the ditch. I just get so frustrated with social media sometimes and things that I see and Christians who I love and admire clicking like on things that have no business. We need to be a discerning people. We just need to be a discerning people. Luke chapter 23, verse 6. Jesus being brought before Pilate. Pilate's doing his best to get rid of him, so he's going to send him to Herod. Luke chapter 23, verse 6, when Pilate heard of Galilee, and I'm just jumping in here, he asked whether the man that were Jesus were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him, that is, he sent Jesus the morning of the crucifixion, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he had hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him, that is, Herod questioned Jesus in many words, but he, that is, Jesus, answered him nothing. Now think. Here is Jesus before this Roman ruler named Herod. And you might say, now would be really a good time for Jesus to preach to him. Why wouldn't Jesus tell him to repent and to trust in the gospel, to turn from his sins? Why wouldn't Herod do that? I'm sorry, why wouldn't Jesus do that to Herod? The answer is because our Lord refused to give that which is holy to the dogs or cast pearls before swine. That's why. I may say it like this. Jesus knew that Herod was not interested in truth or the gospel or repentance or everlasting life. He only wanted Jesus to do some magic tricks for him. And Jesus knew that. Jesus discerned that. Herod treated Jesus like he was some kind of freak traveling show. Maybe show me some magic tricks and do a few little flighty things. Yeah, do that. But Jesus refused to give that which is holy to the dogs and kept his silence. And we must certainly not criticize our Lord in this. He was simply practicing what he preached in the Sermon on the Mount. And not casting pearls before swine. Not knowing, like Christ, we don't have that all-knowing mind of God. We don't know who the sheep, who the goats, who the dogs, who the hogs. So we preach to everyone. We warn every man. We preach the gospel to every creature. However, listen to me. We are not required to persist to the point of actually devaluing the message by warning those who have been repeatedly warned. And in particular those who are violently opposed to all things holy. Yes, Christian. Warn sinners to flee from the coming judgment. But when it becomes clear that you are casting pearls before swine, it's time to stop. When it becomes evident that you are simply giving that which is holy to the dogs, it's time to stop. Or to use another New Testament example, it's time to just shake the dust off your feet. and move elsewhere. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul went and preached and preached and preached. He was in Antioch of Pisidia. And the Jews over and over again rejected the message. And so Paul and Barnabas said, "Lo, we go to the Gentiles, for they'll receive it." That was doing as what we were found here in the Sermon on the Mount. Yes, we need godly wisdom and leadership of the Holy Spirit to know what to say and when to say it. But there is an underlying assumption here, and I want to mention this. The underlying assumption here is that we're going to be actually giving out that which is holy and casting pearls. There is an assumption here that when you do this, don't do it this way, but you should do this. That is that you and I as Christians will be actively distributing to others that which is holy and casting out the pearls of the gospel message. If indeed this is what Jesus makes reference to by these holy things or that which is holy and the pearls, if these are spiritual truths, gospel truths, the question is, are we casting them out? Are we giving them to others? So at the risk of hurting your feelings, Christian, let me ask you, are you actively sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? I don't want to seem like I'm standing up in some ivory tower looking down, because I'm not. It's much easier to stand here and be bold than it is sitting on an airplane beside someone. But there is an assumption here, is there not, that kingdom citizens will be spreading the good news of the kingdom, telling others about the king and how wonderful that he is, sharing that life-changing, soul-saving message of Jesus Christ to others. Yes, there comes a time when we stop because we're devaluing the message because these dogs and hogs refuse to hear it. But are we actively sharing the news? If I were to, and I'm not going to, so don't worry about it, but if I were to ask a show of hands, how many of you shared the gospel with someone in the last week? How many hands would go up in the last month, in the last year? When's the last time you told somebody that I was a lost sheep, bound and headed towards an eternity apart from God? But somebody told me about a man named Jesus and it changed my life. You need to be taking that which is holy and giving it away. You need to be casting your pearls. Yes, there comes a time when we stop because it is falling on deaf ears, or even worse, those who would turn and attack us. But until that, are you sharing that good news? We must. We need to discern, my friends, between those who are simply lost and need Christ, as opposed to those who despise all things of God. There is a difference between someone being skeptical of Christianity and those who are spiteful towards Christianity. And we need to discern. We need to know. There are those who are apprehensive, and that's fine, right, good. There are those who are apprehensive about spiritual matters. But there are also those who are animalistic towards spiritual matters. And we are called to discern between the two. So here's the warning. Not everyone is going to receive the good news. Some will ignore it. Some will reject it. But there are some people who you are going to share Christ with, and they are going to violently reject it. And can I just say this? If you share the good news of Jesus Christ with people on a regular basis, it won't take you long to discern dogs and hogs, because they'll be the ones barking, biting, and snarling and attacking. There are those who are just indifferent towards Christianity. They're a bunch of zealots, a bunch of nutcases. Let them go do it. And there are those who are actually violently opposed to all things holy. And you go talking about Jesus a whole lot, and you won't really have that much trouble discerning between those who are angry and feel the bitterness about it. There are those who are more than disinterested. They are actually antagonistic towards the gospel. So Jesus warns, don't cast your pearls before swine. And in this passage, dogs and hogs represent those who, because of their perversity and ungodliness, refuse to have anything to do with the holy and precious things of God, except to trample them under their feet and turn and attack God's people who have shared them. It is our prayer, is it not, that our friends and family would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Yet we must also rely on Holy Spirit leadership to discern when to speak and when to keep silence, lest we cast pearls before swine or give that which is holy to the dogs. That's all I've got from you from this verse. I hope it'll be a benefit to you, and I hope it'll give you wisdom and counsel. Don't be hypercritical, but don't go to the other extreme and be spineless. No, we've got to be a discerning people in this world in which we live. Would you stand with me?